How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your midweek Wednesday morning. And welcome to the final Sens game day of the 2021 season. We're glad you're along for this 12th day of May 2021. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And you're waking up to, well, what's going to be a beautiful day. A little bit later on. A little chilly to start, just 5 degrees right now, but we got some sunshine coming. 17 will be the high later. Tomorrow, even better. Sunny, 22. And the outlook for Friday and the weekend, pretty darn good as well. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, mostly sunny all 3 days. Highs around 20, 21 degrees. So pretty good. As we mentioned, still a little bit chilly this morning. Still put the heat on in the car. I'm a bit soft in my old. It might have to do with the shorts I'm wearing too. Kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit, but 5 degrees as you head out this morning. And as we say, good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm good, JR. For a midweek, a change in lifestyle. Very strange this morning there. Never a breakfast guy. Fired down a banana, two yogurts, a muffin, a smoothie,
wow,
a bottle of water, onto a coffee right now. So certainly well-fueled. There's no doubt about that as to what effect it has. But very interesting because, as I say, my whole life I've never been a breakfast guy. But waking up bright and early, super hungry, and so I'm full of fuel. So ready for 4 hours here.
Okay.
It seemed like a lot.
No, I like that. I like that. I've had a naan bread, or a nan. I've had a protein shake. And I've had an apple.
Oh, nice.
And now I got my first cup.
Now, what are you doing protein shake wise? Are you doing that? It's already pre-made.
It's a pre-made thing.
Okay.
Yeah. We were making it home for a while, and then I just got too lazy.
Yeah. No, I.
And it makes too much noise in the morning.
Well, no.
And
that,
I'm too lazy to make it the night before.
Well, no, I got the Ninja 500, and that's what I said to Mira. She's like, you know, because I've been making the last couple of weeks for the boys when I've been home, but that's around 10 a.m. They're being homeschooled. A couple of bananas, strawberries, a little Fido berry, a little veggie green, orange juice, and water. And she's like, okay, well, why don't you? In your routine, why don't you make it before you go to work? I'm like, okay, let me turn it on right now, and then you tell me at 4:45 a.m. that bad boy's gonna go off. Yeah. Not a chance. But no, that's been fun to get back into those things, and they taste good. So a little pre-made, that's good. Nice way to start the day.
There's actually there's one that that Costco sells I like. I don't know, I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, it was actually
a big old box.
Yeah, I wish they had that as a kid. I wish they had that even in hockey. I was never a breakfast person, and then by lunchtime I'm starving, and even in junior hockey I remember going to practice and you hadn't had a whole lot to eat, so a whole bunch of shakes. And speaking of Costco, saw on social media on the weekend our good friend Mark Mathot had the old tomahawk steak going, a massive tomahawk steak. Like, where the hell did you get that from? I'm like, oh, it's got to be some specialty shop. Must be some incredible place. Like, he's pre-ordered. He's like, Costco.
Yeah. Hey? Yeah.
110 bone for a little tomahawk steak, which it was kind of a funny story because I think 3 years ago, Mira and I, first time we went away for vacation, the resort we were going to, of course, they spread out the menu and you're looking online and they've got the tomahawk steak there. And we're like, oh, man, first night we're down there, we're going to the restaurant, we're going to get the tomahawk. You get there, they're like, oh, we're out of the tomahawk. Oh, surprise, surprise. Everybody and their brother had beaten the tomahawk steak every single night. So it wasn't a tomahawk steak to be found on the island.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Hammer, are you a breakfast person at all?
Yeah, I just usually have like a little snack bar or something like that. We have these Special K breakfast bars that I kind of snack on. I don't eat too much in the morning.
Yeah. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's
do you eat the wrapper as well?
It's not. Well, it's made out of the same stuff.
They are the worst.
When the description was, it's kind of a breakfast bar thing, becomes concerning.
That's so dry, you could actually just do sand and you'd be fine. Now, what Hammer eats for breakfast?
Fills you up.
What Hammer eats for breakfast, OJR, when he's waking up, when he does? Like that technically, you got to spin that around on, you know, Hammer. What are you up at, 3, Hammer?
Yeah,
you're a couple hours ahead of
man. That's not easy on the body. I mean, technically, by the time we roll out of here, this is time for breakfast.
That's when I'm in my handful of almonds.
Your almonds,
almonds, yeah,
a little almond action.
Almonds on the desk.
Oh, the other adjustment that I've made, but I thank God yesterday at Loblaws I didn't have them. I've been buying the mega bag of pistachios lately.
And oh, those are addictive.
Oh my God. Like it is. I said to Mira, tell me to stop.
And is there anything more frustrating than getting the odd one that you can't open with your hands?
Well, no, I, you know what? Based on a mega bag, I've realized if there's every one in 100, don't even attempt. And it's actually to the point that the nail on my left hand and my thumb is actually partially gone.
Okay. From jamming it in there and breaking it open?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just said that to Mira. I said, you know, on green grapes and pistachios, tell me to stop. Like, please tell me to stop eating them. Oh my God. When you start going in those things, it just is like, forget it.
Yeah.
Like they say that about some foods, and there's not many that I would put on that list. But the green grapes and the old pistachios, once you open the bag, it's like, oh God.
Well, they got the bag. They got the bag that's, if you open your hand, it's about the, it would fit into your hand, an open hand. Size bag.
Yeah.
Oh, I can polish one of those off.
Oh, well, and they also, they have the 1149 for the mega bag at good old Independent there. And as I said, they had a big setup, and yesterday I went by. No green grapes, no pistachios. I said, kind of like, okay, kind of break here today, so we're good to go.
All right, just got a text in. Says you can get a tomahawk steak at Ottawa Valley Meat
for
$86.
Okay, okay.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, good sponsor of the station.
They are actually, No, and I've seen their commercials on the Sens games, right? The
correct.
People sitting on the couch?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
including the guy wearing the TSN 1200 hat.
Yeah, it's kind of it's an interesting mix ensemble that he's got cooking there on the commercial. But okay, well, we'll have to fire one of those up. They're located out in, is it Kempville?
You know what? I thought they were on Prior Renfrew. I'm not positive.
Okay,
where
okay.
I'm
okay.
sure they deliver. I'll put it that
absolutely.
Way.
Well, yeah. I'm going to get one from them. Help support the station. And have you ever had one of those? Have you ever fired up the tomahawk?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, it looks like a kind of cool experience. Just kind of the big bone there and all the meat on it. So yeah, it'll be fun to do.
Any piece of meat with a bone usually is good.
Yeah, that's true. Bone in. Yeah.
All right. Birthdays today. Rami Malek is 40 years old today. He's the guy that starred in Bohemian Rhapsody as Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
That's what I know him. Hammer, what else has he been in?
The robot TV show, which I always want to call it iRobot, but it's not iRobot.
Anyway.
It's just a robot.
So incredible in that, right? We've watched it a few times, and now the movie portion of I always find great. I love the first opening scene or one of the first scenes when he's talking to the guys when the one guy quits from the band. But I think for any of it, going back to the duplication of the live performance for Live Aid, I cannot watch that enough. And then we usually watch the movie, which we've watched four or five times with the kids. And then it's fun to switch over to the actual Live Aid performance, right? And see how they're able to do that. That is really, really cool to kind of watch that. And I guess the Mike Myers scene is one of the more better scenes in the movie as well.
The Mike Myers scene.
When they meet with him,
in
right?
Bohemian
Rhapsody. Remember when they've just released the album? Remember Mike Myers is saying...
He's the music producer?
You brought me a goddamn opera.
Right.
Hey, remember he's like, what the hell is Bohemian Rhapsody?
Right.
And they also said that scene didn't actually happen in real life, but it was still.
Of course not. That's called creative license.
That is for sure.
That's important.
Sure,
like when he storms out and they throw the rock through the guys through the producer's window or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah. Hey. You're
nothing
events
but
are somewhat similar too.
You go away, you wanker. Hey. Are we allowed to say that?
Did we just swear on the air?
I'm not sure.
By British standards. We're nobody.
Yeah, we'd be off the air in Great Britain. We're fine here.
Yeah, for any of our UK listeners, please do that on delay.
He's also the new Bond villain. He's the main Bond villain in the new movie that was supposed to be released last year.
Okay. Rami Malek?
Yes.
Okay. I could see that.
I think it's this fall now it's been pushed
back to. Now, is his... Is his mouth always that way, or did they do something for the movie?
Are you talking about
he's kind of
the protruding?
Well, he's got a huge overbite, and then he also mentioned it. Does he? At least in the movie, he claims that he has extra teeth, right?
That's my question.
Incisors, I think he ended up saying in that.
So that is not actually how his mouth looks in real life.
No,
okay. So how they pulled that off or how it looked, because you would that is some great acting. But I could see where he'd be pretty cool in a villain role.
But he does have a bit of a protruding upper lip, though, naturally, by these photos I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And they just made it even more so for the movie.
If you haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody, highly recommended. Very, very good. Rocket Man, that's the Elton John one.
Terrible. I can't
overstate that.
Oh my God. That's. I don't know what was worse, that or the... what was the Rock One, Hammer, that was done? Kind of
Rock of Ages?
No. It was about the band Poison or one of the...
Oh, Motley Crue.
Motley
that was
Crue.
More of a Netflix series, right?
That was darn cool. close too. Yeah, exactly. That was right.
It's bad?
That was it was just above Elton John.
Oh, wow.
Just above.
I thought I heard Bunda say it was really good, but Bunda's right into that.
Yeah,
so.
that's exactly okay. How you see
if
that.
If you really like the band, you probably say it's good.
Yeah, that looked like the Elton John crew kind of scrambled and said, "Boy, Bohemian Rhapsody's coming out. We got to throw something together and get it out here."
Yeah, all good. All right. Well, we can dispense with watching movies because for one last night tonight, we can watch The Sens as they'll play their final game of the season. It's come and gone quickly, yet it hasn't been quick in a kind of weird sort of way. But pretty much 4 months after the season began, it comes to its conclusion tonight with the Toronto Maple Leafs in town. We'll see a couple of debuts for Ottawa and see a guy who hadn't played for the Leafs in a while, and Freddie Anderson as well, back in the twine tent for the first time in a couple of months as he gets set maybe to take over the starter's net for the Maple Leafs in the playoffs. So lots of storylines from the game tonight to talk about. When we return, we'll get into the fact that the Canadian Division playoffs are now set after Winnipeg's win last night. We know it'll be the Jets and the Oilers, and for the first time since 1979, it'll be the Leafs and the Habs going head-to-head for the, I think, 16th time in their history. A lot of people look forward to that. That'll all begin in about a week or so. So we'll get into all the playoff picture. Got a little more sense of things after last night's game. So lots of hockey stuff to get to. Also, the Blue Jays pull off a nice win. The Raptors lose again. The NBA playoff picture starting to come into focus as well. And, of course, we'll have our TSN $1,200,000 minute. We will have Pierre Maguire and our PGA Championship Majors pool debuts today as well. We got another major on the golf schedule starting a week from tomorrow. Our majors pool is up and online at tsn1200.ca. We'll tell you all about that as well when we return. It's a midweek Wednesday morning, a Sens game day. We're glad you're with us. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back. 6:23 on this Wednesday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Sens and Leafs coming up tonight. Don't forget the start time is an hour later than normal. 8 o'clock will be the face-off time tonight. 6 o'clock will be our pregame show. It's Graham Creech, Darren Dreger, Brad Smith, and company will take you through up to puck drop with Dean and Gore tonight at 8 as the Sens will wrap up the season. More on the game coming up in just a second, and we'll fill in more of the playoff picture as more things came into focus after the games of last night. But here's a quick reminder. We are headed toward the second golf major of the season. It's coming up next week, PGA Championship. Don't forget last year. Well, actually, not last year. It was 2 years ago, right? Last year, everything got moved around because of the pandemic. But 2 years ago, they moved the PGA, which used to be the last major of the season. It was in August, up into May. So we had a major every single month, right? Masters in April, PGA in May. U.S. Open in June, and then the British Open in July, and then they have all the World Golf Championship events in August, and then they wrap it all up by Labor Day because they don't want to go head-to-head with the NFL once it starts after Labor Day. So all that to say, we got a PGA Championship pool for you, pool number 2, thanks to our friends at Royal LePage Team Realty. It's the usual way the contest works. We've got 9 pools, each with 6 players. You pick out 1 player from each pool, and if collectively your team is better than anyone else's, and that means low score, not high score, then you will collect the great prize, which is your very own Google Nest. All right, so again, your top-line golfers, pool number 1, always, well, they're all tough. Rory McIlroy, who just won, Dustin Johnson, think he's still world number 1. Justin Thomas, always a favorite. John Rahm, waiting to win that first major. Bryson DeChambeau, hits it further than anybody else, thinks he misses cuts, flies home, then flies back when he doesn't miss a cut. Or Xander Schauffele, steady Eddie. Those are your 6 options for pool number 1. All right, so you got a week. But again, it's one of these things you can go in and change it. Go in now, make your pick so you don't forget. And if you want to go in and change it at any point, if somebody drops out or you change your mind on somebody or you read some good hot tip, you can still go in and change your team right up until 8 a.m. next Thursday, which is the opening round of the PGA Championship, which this year
will be held at Kiowa Island down in the Hilton Head area of South Carolina.
Yeah, and I think last one, JR, we're not an opportunity to gloat about it. I finished sixth. So next Wednesday, between 10 and 11, I'm going to hold an open chat for anybody that wants advice. And I've just gone through and made my picks. A couple of things there. I like short names. Okay. I like names I'm somewhat familiar with. And then I just kind of like the look. No visor, guys. I won't take anybody that wears a visor.
Okay, all right.
And I've locked through. And
So Phil's out.
What was the well, I don't like Bubba Watson because I don't think that's real hair, so I never go towards that.
Okay.
Not feeling the whole thing there with old Rory McIlroy. So who was the last golfer in the first bowl?
Xander Schauffele.
So that's my lock for the round one.
Okay.
Can I ask you who you'd end up taking, or you don't want to?
I always pick John Rahm.
Oh, you do.
Because I just feel like he's going to break through
in one
of these.
Yeah. Does this any idea if the course sets up for Mr. DeChambeau?
It is the longest course in majors history. In fact, I just read that yesterday. 7,876 yards. It's all we're getting close to an 8,000 yard golf course, which is
I haven't been in the golf game for a while, but when I played 20 years ago a lot, I'm going to say that a pretty good course was 7,200 yards. Is that am I right on that?
Well, yeah, they can make them any length they want.
But
majors were played to just over 7,000.
So
7,800.
That's incredible.
They've got
600 extra yards.
They've got par fours that are well over 500 yards now.
Oh my gosh.
Like that's more of them than aren't. So it's they're playing a game with which we are not familiar.
No, for sure. I measure a little bit on that. The biggest one for me was when I think about a par three, I think of a par three should be, I would say, anywhere between 120 and 170.
Mm.
When I see a par three that's well over 200 yards, I just kind of equate, be kind of embarrassing to be using a driver when I'm on a par three. Do you know? I mean, like that's what I look at and realize, that this is on another planet as far as the level.
I'm not too embarrassed to say that number 8 at the Royal Ottawa Golf Club, which is a par 3, which you're hitting west. If there's a strong west wind, and Ottawa, that's the prevalent wind, right? Yeah. West-east, right? You're hitting into that. That one can play out to, I think, about 230 or 240 yards. I played there once. It's a great golf course. There once, and it was a real stiff wind. Yeah, I took my driver out.
Oh, yeah.
Put it on the front of the green.
Yeah.
And then hit about a 50-yard bomb for birdie.
Nice.
Way to go. Good job, mate.
What was that for the Sens Day?
No, I was just playing there once.
But you played in the Sens Day there, did you?
Yes.
That was
Tippy Toe Lee there. We played with Bobby Ryan that day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So no, the driver, you're right. And and then for any of the ones too, if you get to a par three, anything that ends up going uphill too, right? And then you realize need a little extra club here.
Corey Connors had an ace last weekend on a 254 yard. Par three. Now he didn't hit his driver, but he did hit a hybrid.
Yeah.
So, which is, some of those guys will still hit irons 250 yards, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But
another ace? Yeah. An ace at the Masters? And then an ace in another tournament?
Yeah, yeah.
And how many do you have, JR?
I don't have any, and we don't need to talk about it. He's a professional golfer. He is paid to get aces, okay?
He's got 2 in 3 weeks.
Yes.
And how many do you have again?
I played golf for many years. I don't have any. I've been robbed a couple of times. It's a long way out.
Somebody come and stop it?
I've had a couple of lip outs. They're quite apparent by where the ball stopped. Last year, I hit the pin.
Nice.
And it dropped about 2 feet away.
Yeah, we ended up playing Reno-View a few years ago. And and here at Hammer, here's the pro of the course, Stevie Duckett.
Yeah.
He got his first hole in one. It was me, JR, and Donnie Brennan. That was pretty cool. The nice little par three.
The fourth hole by the Snack Shack.
Yeah, ends up being downhill right there.
That's the annual Reno-View tournament. And did we play the next year again, Simmer? When Kenny Walls?
That year was funny because he hits his shot.
Right.
We all go for a drink and snacks, and then we go down and actually find out that it's a hole in one.
We thought it might be.
Exactly.
But we stopped for snacks, so that was the most delayed hole in one in golf history.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like I can't find the. Oh, it is in the hole. Well, way to go. And it was his first. This is Steve Duckett we're talking about.
Yeah, and that's a golf pro, someone that's played his entire life.
So, crazily enough, again, me never having had a hole in one. It's the first time I played with someone who got a hole in one that I was playing with. Very same tournament, the very next year, very same hole.
Okay.
Simmer's out. Kenny is in. Kenny gets his first hole in one. I'm playing.
Wow.
I played.
Nice.
We didn't have the tournament last year because of the pandemic.
Okay.
So I'm on a run at Reno-View during their golf day of back-to-back first career holes in one for players. So anybody that wants to play, if they have the tournament this year, hopefully they will, that wants to play with me, that would like their first, or that would like to wish a hole in one upon me, which I'd like to accomplish before I die.
Yeah.
okay, which would be nice if the golf gods would finally smile upon poor old JR.
Yeah.
Be nice. Thank you.
What's it like watching other people hit hole-in-ones just when you don't have
just
one?
Just be quiet.
Like, are you, like, cheer guy, or are you actually under your breath?
But Hammer, technically, they're supposed to go in the clubhouse and buy everybody drinks. I mean, that's the whole thing. You really don't want one. What's the famous
you
guy?
You really don't want a hole-in-one.
No, you'd want one. But who the famous guy, JR from Ottawa, did he play at your course that got all the hole-in-ones? Remember?
Bob Henry.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this is a guy for people that don't know. He's got...
Is that Kanata Lakes?
Yes.
Okay.
He's got probably close to 30 holes in one. And the thing about Bob, and I never played with Bob, and I don't think he's at the golf course any longer.
Okay.
But everybody that's played with him that I know, because I'm a member of the course now, says it's not like he hits a high ball where, it's a lot of low ones that kind of skirt along the ground and find their way into the hole.
Runners.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
It must get boring when you hit 30 hole in ones, right?
Just like listen. Do you want your own minute to 90 seconds just to get all the shots in? That's
no,
good.
No,
I got broad shoulders.
I like to sprinkle them.
Sprinkle them in.
I like
okay.
To, yeah, right. A little bit of potpourri throughout all the right. Show.
Anyway, get your picks into us at some point over the next week. It's online, tsn1200.ca, or tsn1200 Majors Pool, brought to you by Royal LePage Team Realty. Just click on the banner right across the top. It's the big thing in green. You can't miss it. Majors Pool, and make your picks. Okay, 6:32. We've got the Canadian Division playoffs now set. Thanks to the Winnipeg Jets' win last night.
Stopped again by Winnipeg. Moved ahead now for Wheeler to the near side for Connor across the line. Back for Wheeler out in front and a shot. He scores! Off the rush. What a beauty for Winnipeg. Blake Wheeler's second of the night. 15th of the year. And it's 4-0 Winnipeg, baby.
There's our friend, the laughing play-by-play guy in Winnipeg with the fourth of what would be 5 Jets goals. They didn't give up any. 5-0 is the final. Yeah. They beat the Canucks, and for Winnipeg, a much-needed win, only their second in the last 11 games, and they have now clinched third place in the Canadian Division, which means the playoffs are now set. The Leafs are first. The Oilers are second. The Jets are third. The Habs are fourth, so it'll be Winnipeg and Edmonton. They haven't met in the playoffs since 1990. The last year the Oilers went on to win a Stanley Cup.
They
beat the Jets in the quarterfinals that year.
Okay.
And, of course, Leafs and Habs, as we mentioned, have not played a playoff series in over 40 years. Yeah. 1979. It'll all start a week from today.
Yeah, and watching some of the scores, JR, had a little early bed last night, but I think it was 2-0 the last time I looked, and I was just hoping, almost like I was hoping back in the day, that the Sens would beat Boston so they'd play Montreal, and interest in watching, or at least seeing that, Paul Maurice. The question shifted right away to Connor McDavid, but from this side, this is what I wanted all year long, and I think it's a rivalry. It hasn't been played in a long time, but I don't care where Montreal is at. I know they'll get a few players back. I just feel like this is going to be a real good series. Certainly Toronto's a favorite, but I think all the pressure's on them, and I just think in this particular case, at least for me, I mean, this is must-see TV, and I think this is going to be a whole lot of fun to watch Montreal versus Toronto.
Yeah, we'll see if Montreal gets all their players back.
Yeah,
I think they could be competitive in the series. I also think that Toronto could just smoke them.
You do, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't feel
the star power of Toronto.
Yeah, I do too. But I just feel like.
What was that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of a little snort there. I'm not snorting anything. But I just look at it and think with Toronto, I understand that, but it's almost like, okay, they've had a great year. There's been all the buildup. And when you get to the pressure like that, there's always that first round of kind of feeling yourself out. And without the fans, certainly different because Montreal is one of the best buildings in the league. But I still think the excitement to it, I think the break, and we're talking about what, next Wednesday? Probably starting. I do think for Montreal to have a bit of a reset. And I think the other curiosities, we see Freddie Anderson tonight, JR. What do you think they go with opening night for the playoffs? Mm. Like, I'd be a little shocked. I'll say this. I'd be a little shocked if they started Freddie Anderson. I think that'd be a major mistake, personally. After missing 23 games, playing with the Marlies, one game, they said he's great in practice. Campbell's just been too good. To put Freddie in there, the way he's been hit or miss in the playoffs, boy, that to me, that would be risky if I was the Leafs. I'd go with Campbell all day long. What about you?
Well, two schools of thought, right? And first of all, I think if Freddie has a good game tonight, and if they play him again, they've got another game yet against Winnipeg on Friday.
Yeah.
So an opportunity for him to get a couple of games in, and maybe if he's really good in both of those games, then you're going, then you say, okay, good to go. So two schools of thought. You go with, okay, You go with your number one guy, who normally would be Freddie Anderson. Yeah, you go with your number one guy, knowing in your back pocket, if he stumbles out of the gate, short leash, boom, you can go to Jack Campbell, who's had a great year. Flip side is you can start with Campbell, who's been the better guy all year. No doubt about that. There's no confusion about that. Jack Campbell's been great, and then you got Freddie Anderson in your back pocket. I think that coaches would tend to defer to, especially based on injury, to the tried and true. So if I had to guess right now, if Freddie Anderson looks good in the next game or two, I'm saying that he will start the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree on that theory or that thought, but boy, oh boy, as I said, with the pressure that the Leafs have with the way for Anderson, and I don't put it on him with the losses in the playoffs, I think he's been decent, but as Hammer kind of said, and I agree, man, oh man, you beat Anderson on that first night for Montreal, you get that first victory, man, things tighten up. And I don't think Campbell is an Andrew Hammond situation where it was just a run. He's simple. I don't think he can lead you to the promised land, but he provides exactly what I want in an opening round where I just want safe, right? I don't need flashy.
Save the savables.
Exactly. And against Montreal, who has a hard time scoring, that's all that I'm asking for, is just that ability to really calm things down, and he's provided that anytime he's played for the Leafs this year.
All right. More on that, of course, coming up. We'll have a week's worth of buildup, and since it's Montreal and Toronto, you're gonna be just inundated.
Yeah.
Inundated.
We're like in between a war right now, JR. Yeah. We're kind of in where the Scud missiles, but like some of them will land in our market. So we're right where the Montreal propaganda is kind of pushing one way. You got the Toronto propaganda, and the Toronto propaganda is much bigger and much stronger in the English side. So it's really kind of meeting somewhere around Ottawa, around Cornwall, Belleville, Kingston, and it's just like it's a tug of war. I mean, it's basically Hammer. We're gonna have to get Patrick Waugh pushing the glass, because I feel like that's going to where things are at, right? One side is Bruce Boudreau. We'll say he's Montreal. Or no, we'll say Patrick Waugh is Montreal. And we'll say Bruce Boudreau is basically Toronto. And they're basically going back and forth on the glass right now. And that's basically Ottawa's glass.
Coaches, they're pointing at each other and shouting, and Waugh pushes the glass over. Oh, my goodness, the Ducks are pushing it back.
Have you backed up that file yet? Just make sure we never lose it.
Yes, it's on a hotkey. Okay. It's backed up.
Then there's nothing else to say at that point, right? Yeah. And Bruce knows he doesn't want to fight Patrick Waugh. So you're kind of like, yeah, I pushed it back. Now let's resume the play.
So if I'm thinking how it's half Ottawa is certainly not halfway geographically.
No.
I'm going maybe a good maybe a nice Caledar.
A little Cobourg?
No, that's way too close to Toronto. If we're going 401, if you're going 401.
Okay. It's not Belleville?
Belleville, no, that's a couple hours from Toronto.
Napanee?
Yeah. Kingston is probably Kingston would be close.
Okay.
Kingston would be very close. I don't want to go big city. I want to go Highway 7. Okay. I want to go leisurely.
Okay.
So I want to go 417 to Ottawa. Then I want to jump on 7. We'll take the leisurely drive.
Alex McCauley from? What's the little?
We'll use the passing lanes on Highway 7. We'll hope that the OPP, the constabulary, do a great job. But sometimes
love them.
Tend to sit at the end of those passing lanes, where sometimes you may have to need to speed up a little bit to get by that last car before the three lanes go back to two. And maybe once in a while you might get a speeding ticket because that's a fishing hole.
Don't be a trapper. Yeah.
Exactly. Don't be like that, constabulary. Just do what you're doing. Do the good stuff. But I think once you get, I'm going Caledar is a nice halfway point.
Yeah, it's 542 kilometers. So by my calculation, 250, 271.
271.
271.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the map right now, and Kingston would not be quite there. So we'd have to go, as you said, just a little bit east, right? Just a little east of Kingston would get us there.
Sure.
Okay. And on 7, so that's 7 and 41. Got a nice little gas bar there if you need a pit stop, if you need
a little
bathroom.
You talking about Tweed?
No, Caledar right there. There's a little gas bar right at 7
7. Oh, 41. Yes. Yeah. Okay, right. Okay.
A little gas bar to take care of business, a little pit stop.
You know what? I stopped at that place on a Saturday night once, coming back from her Sunday night, another freaking hockey tournament in Toronto, coming back, and didn't want to stop there. Didn't want it, but I couldn't make it. Couldn't go the whole way. Had to find something to eat. That little gas bar there. That was some bad sandwiches. Oh, that was some, you know, the day olds almost turning green. No.
Kind I didn't want to say. Yeah. It's some bad eating.
Did you
right
get
there.
Some rumblings in the tummy as you got onto 416?
What do you like to call them? Some tender vittles?
Hey? Yeah.
Some nice vittles?
Well, I didn't have to do 4-6 because it's coming 7. I'm off in Canada.
So. Oh, okay.
So you eat there, and then you got to get off again because you got to. Yeah. Well, what you just ate.
Got a rumble in the jungle.
Exactly.
I'm trying to nurse it into Perth, right? If I can get to Perth, I'm good.
Okay.
Because I got a pretty good selection of fast food joints once I get to Perth, which means there's a bathroom involved as well. Right, but in Kaladar, I got the gas station bathroom, and then I got the sandwiches, which are turning green. Yeah, that was not solid.
How long has that apple been in that basket for?
Yeah. Do I go for it or not? Usually something in a bag is what I try to go for. I'm trying to teach my kids not to have chips when you're hungry, right? When they're younger. Like, that's not a meal.
No.
But, you know, when you're in a gas station and it's the green sandwiches or the bag of chips, let's go with the bag of chips.
Yeah, and at least here in Canada, guys, not bad. And for someone that has driven all over North America and driven over Europe, JR., I would go into the Czech Republic or places like that. You stop in the gas station, it's like being in a fine restaurant. Like, you go in there and you have a nice sub there, and they have the secret sauce on it, not in a bad way. Nice fresh meat, nice French bread. You just eat that. You're like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. And then here in Canada, overall pretty good. Then you get down to the United States. Anybody that's driven, first of all, you fear for your life, which is really not a good thing. When you're on the New Jersey Turnpike and you're going to some of these places here, like literally you think, is this a jail? First of all, you enter the restroom, and then at that point, all bets are off whether or not you'll live by twin that point and getting your food. Then you cruise out for your food, and it's a pretty nasty spot. So I'll say if we're doing a power ranking, Europe 1, Canada 2, and the United States a distant third, at least if you're on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Yeah, there was never a time for people old enough to remember before the rest stops on the 401 all were taken over and became en routes.
They were
all individual. Kind of just restaurants, and if you want to talk about some green sandwiches, Hammer, you'd know this from Belleville, right? Some before the en routes, just the old restaurants along the 401,
just the dives
before they became cookie cutter. I'll take cookie cutter all day compared to man,
that was
some bad.
And you get a little healthy selection now in those en routes too. I mean, it's grossly overpriced. Mm. But that I'd rather pay grossly overpriced food than
my only memory of those rides, a couple of things playing in Oshawa, but was always when I was in the Sioux. We would have our last game in Toronto before the Christmas break, and Mike Glover, who I play with, and a shout out to Glovey right now as he's recovering from a lot of things in the leg surgery. We talked about him a few months ago, JR, a couple months ago. His brother Rick or Randy would pick us up in Toronto. All I remember is that ride. First of all, it's wintertime. You're in the back seat of a car. You're really not paying attention. It was a solid two cases of beer, and the driver wasn't drinking. I don't want to say that for a minute, but all I remember is just having some nice cold pops there and arriving back probably afternoon game, probably leaving around 4 p.m., and I think by around 8:30 we were home and eating some Mary Glover's fine old food back
home
in the Ottawa day.
Home and hammered, it sounds like.
Well, it was. It was a different time, but as I said, the driver wasn't participating. It was only for the passengers, and it was a very solid and excellent ride with some great tunes back in the day.
All right. We began by setting up Toronto and Montreal and ended up on green sandwiches at old en routes along the 401. That's the way the show goes. All right. So, just the two games in the NHL last night. The other really not of any consequence. Boston loses to Washington 2-1 as the Capitals score with 3 seconds to go. Michael Raffel had the game winner. I don't want to say the Bruins didn't take this game seriously. The Bruins didn't take this game seriously. Here's who was not playing for Boston last night. This is no joke.
Yeah.
This is who didn't play for Boston last night. Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, David Pastrnak, Taylor Hall, David Krejci, Craig Smith, Sean Corrali, Charlie Coyle, Charlie McAvoy, Andre Kasha, Matt Grizzlick, Mike Riley, Brandon Carlo, Jeremy Lauzon, Kevin Miller, and Tuukka Rask. That's 16 players.
That's beautiful that they could put a roster together.
Well, I went on the app last night wondering if they went with 50. Like, how do you even fill out a roster? Yeah. But they had 18 skaters last night, despite the fact they sat out 15. I think all 15 of those guys will be in game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, and a little bit of gamesmanship. And for Bruce Cassidy, going back into old Washington JR, where he started his NHL career, and Mr. Ovechkin was back. And I kind of get, based on some of the plays and some of the breakdowns, most of that Boston lineup wasn't familiar with who number 8 was. Because the coverage on him a number of times, they were not aware that that's the greatest goal scorer of our lifetime. Bad coverage. So he sets up, and I think between, if I'm going on the East Coast, as I said, those are my two series I'm going to be watching all day long. It's going to be Montreal-Toronto, and I certainly think that the Boston-Washington series is going to be old school, and I think it's going to be a real good series between those two teams.
That will actually be the first Stanley Cup playoff, it looks like, that will begin on Saturday night, primetime, 7 o'clock, Boston and the Washington Capitals. More on all that coming up throughout the morning, and of course with Pierre McGuire when he joins us after 8 o'clock this morning. Quick text to 12-1200. Bob writes, I think all the listeners should be trolling JR with their hole-in-one stories. My dad had two, and I feel it's important that JR knows that. That comes from Bob. So, Bob, listen, congratulations to your dad. Okay, that's great that he has two holes in one in his life. I don't know, Bob, that you aren't talking about the fact that it sounds like you don't have a hole-in-one either. So maybe don't be so preachy-preachy on the hole-in-one there, my friend. And, if your dad wants to troll me, fine. That's fine.
Yeah, I didn't realize you felt that much pressure for it. For the crew that you, regular crew that you golf with, JR, and they've all been kind of lifers, like, do they all have hole-in-ones?
My friend Joe, who I play with very regularly, reminds me that he also has two holes-in-one.
Oh, he does,
Yeah, so anytime we put one close to go. Have I told you guys that I have two holes-in-one? Yeah, there's a weekly reminder.
Is JJ a golfer as well?
Yes. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
And now does he
have
one?
He has a hole-in-one, of course.
Oh, he does, Okay.
I've got this, this tweet that was just sent out from at TSN1200. Anybody else have one hole-in-one at TSNJR's? None? I don't know who posted that, but for anybody that would like to gloat at the fact that they have one to JR's none, hey, just reply to at TSN1200.
You just with your little reindeer games there. That's fine. As I always say, I have a very broad back. It just drips right off me without does not concern me whatsoever. I can't play golf and get a hole-in-one now anyway. I'm not even allowed by the government to go and play golf. That's no good. 6:47. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll set up Sens and Leafs' final game of the season for Ottawa. A couple of interesting additions to the lineup. One making his season debut, one making his NHL debut. And, of course, some thoughts as the Leafs head toward the playoffs as well. So we'll get into that and the rest of the sports story for this Wednesday morning when we return. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. 6:53 on this Wednesday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. Pierre McGuire will talk hockey with us coming up after 8 o'clock. We know the Canadian Division matchups now for the playoffs. It'll be Toronto, Montreal, and Winnipeg, and Edmonton. Jets cemented third place with a 5-0 win over Vancouver last night. We've got the Sens and the Leafs coming up tonight. More on that in just a second. Belleville Senators kicked off their final homestand of the season last night, taking on the Manitoba Moose. They were down 3-1 in the third. They rallied to tie it, send it to overtime, scoreless through overtime. Let's take it to the final shot of the shootout. Belleville scored twice, including a beauty by Vitaly Abramov. Sokolov got a shootout goal. The Moose got a goal. So it is the last Manitoba shooter and Belleville's goalie, Mad Sogard. They need a shot to score to keep it alive.
Ty Pelton-Bice gains the line on the right side, works in, backhand shot, great save, Pat Sogard, and Sogard gives Belleville the 4-3 shootout win over the Manitoba Moose, 37 saves in regulation and overtime, and two more in the shootout.
There you go, there's A.J. Jackie back. He had the call last night alongside Brad Shooter Smith, AHL Hall of Famer, as Belleville comes back to win it 4-3 in a shootout. If you haven't seen the highlight of that final save, and I'm watching the game last night.
Yeah.
So Sogard is 6'7", and the guy comes in, and he's doing the deke, and so he's going back to the side he originally came from, and it looks like he's got Sogard moving the wrong way. Well, then this guy flashes out these legs that just go on forever because he's 6'7". And unfortunately, there's not a ton of camera angles, obviously, for an American Hockey League game, right? So it's all shot from the opposite side, so you don't see it quite clearly. But when the guy went back to deke the other way and had half of the net, and at that point, Sogard is just shooting his leg out of God, there's no chance, right? And then all of a sudden, you see the puck skitter off to the corner, and you go, oh, my God, that guy must have the longest legs ever to be able to get them over and cover that side of the net. But that's today's goalie, right? Yeah, they're so big, and in his case, bigger than big, that they can make those type of saves even when they've been cleanly beat.
Yeah, it is incredible, JR, and it's also incredible for whatever reason. Don't look any further than Freddie Anderson tonight. Gosh almighty, the amount of European goaltenders, these massive guys.
Danish goaltenders.
And that's even more rare. Watched that game against the Marlies 10 days ago, looked outstanding. Now 4-0 as a pro and as a 20-year-old, that's the impressive part for me, is that generally, I use that term all the time, when you look at a guy like Markstrom and other young big men, it takes you a long time to get untangled, right? You're at 6'7", you say, hey, be patient at about 25 years old. We saw that with a guy like Drieger here in Ottawa. Pretty impressive to watch this guy. And I think from an Ottawa perspective, it's not just about, hey, what have you done lately? But when you also realistically look at it, I would say right now that between Sogard, Gustafsson, and Decord, all three of them are going to play in the National Hockey League. And from the small sample size, I'll be quite honest with you, I'd almost have Sogard rated as number one, close with Gustafsson, and I'd almost have Decord as three. So if you're Ottawa, I think you, again, take that same approach in expansion. I would assume you decide internally, is it Decord or Gustafsson? And if you lose one, you lose one. And you realistically look at Sogard and say, at 20 years old, I got three pretty good assets right here. It's not that much to worry about as far as down the road. And again, let's face facts here. It's Mr. Murray that you're worrying about in the next couple of years. All your eggs are in that basket right now anyway.
So on Sogard, Troy Mann guests every Tuesday on In the Box. And so this is before his performance last night, his fourth straight win as a pro. Yeah. And here is what he had to say about his Danish goaltender.
The composure and the confidence level that he brings to the bench. I love the fact that he makes key saves. Even Friday in Laval against a better hockey team, or at least on paper, with the Laval record, they certainly have shown to be the class of our division this year, and that's why we specifically went back to him Friday. We wanted to see him play against Laval, and maybe we're not quite as sharp as he was in the two games in Toronto, but just huge saves. At one point he stopped a breakaway to keep the score 1-0 or 2-1, and those are the type of things you want to see as a coach.
So that was Troy Mann before last night's game. After last night's game, when again Sogard makes that save to preserve the victory in the shootout, he said, quote, "He looks like he could be the real deal," end quote. And again, it's early days. The guy's 20 years old. There's lots that can happen in the meantime. We can only go based on the very small sample size that, yeah, it looks great for now. For me, goalies are always magic beans. You never know one season to the next, but it's the start this year. A positive start is way better than a negative start.
Yeah,
I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Oh no. And again, Jerry's picked in the second round, and I agree with you. It's a long haul. It is the American Hockey League, but yeah, I still factor in a lot. And as I said, just watching a little bit there, generally the guys are struggling. And you think of Danish goaltenders, and I don't know what his hometown is. I know almost every Danish player has come out of the same. Is it Herning? Is where Freddie Anderson's from. So, hey, small sample size. But again, obviously, when we look at Mr. Mann's body of work, you look at the projection, it's not like you took a flyer, right? It's not like Decord, who's a seventh-round pick. Somebody thought at that size, playing in the Western Hockey League, that a second round pick, and so far as a pro at 20 years old, looks pretty good. And you do wonder for next year. I wonder if they don't lose a goaltender and you end up having Forsberg and Murray here, between Decord, Gustafsson, and Sogard, be really interested to see how they handle it. I would assume, and even Mandalese, like, now you're talking about two spots that you need in the East Coast Hockey League to find a spot for somebody to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Should mention, if you didn't see it, by the way, one of the shootout goals for Belleville last night from Vitaly Abramov was just a beauty. He had a goal and an assist. He had the goal in the shootout as well. I don't know if the guy's ever going to make it in the National Hockey League. Yeah, he looks like he might be your classic tweener, guy who'll be a dominant or really, really good American Hockey League player and not quite good enough to make the NHL. That's how it looks like it's sort of trending, at least from an Ottawa perspective. And maybe he's good enough to make a team that doesn't quite have the prospect list that Ottawa has. There's going to be 20 more jobs that open up with a Seattle expansion team. So 20 more NHL jobs available, but that was, he has a real good skill set, and that was evident last night. That shootout goal was really, really nice.
You know what, JR, and I guess you did use the word tweener, and I so agree, but at the same time, and this was kind of the thought when the trade was made, he's part of the Duchesne trade coming across, and you looked at his numbers in junior, and then you look at his kind of body of work, and you watch him play. I kind of expected him to come in here and be like a Filatov, right? Like, be all this flash and dash, and you watch him play, it's workmanlike, but at the same time, at the NHL, there's no real purpose to what he's doing. At the same time, I've never watched an NHL game that he's played that I've seen any flash of skill at all, right? And then I guess that's part of not being the biggest guy. It's part of kind of having your head down and chasing the play. But then you see, as you said, flashes like that, but I have not seen at the NHL level where, as I said, if you look at on paper or hockey database, I don't feel that when I watch him play. I feel more like, okay, he tries real hard, but at the NHL level does not get a whole lot of looks. Now, the sample size size is small. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't know how that's going to really turn into or transition into being an NHL player.
I'm not saying that they're the same type of player, but this almost has the feel going into, and I don't know what they're going to do with him in the summer. I'm assuming he's going to be exposed in the expansion draft, and they could just, maybe he's the choice for Seattle. I don't know. But it's almost like we're in the same situation the Sens were as they started last year with Rudy Balcers, is a real good American Hockey League player, but... You know, again, where Ottawa is trending and what they have right now, is there a spot for that player at the National Hockey League level? Now, I think, and I think most of us agree, they made a mistake with Balcers in terms of putting him on waivers. Yeah, I mean, the whole Galchenyuk thing, that was ridiculous, and they ended up losing Rudy Balcers for nothing when they maybe could have just flipped him for some kind of asset, and maybe that's the same situation, though, in the in training camp next year when Abramov would need waivers, where it's kind of like, well, we don't want to lose the guy. We'll put the guy in waivers and lose him for nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe let's try and flip him out in the summer and get something back for him.
Yeah, no, you're right. You get into, and it's fortunate for any team in Ottawa when you see the prospects and kind of where you're going. I always kind of, I thought at least for myself, I'm not just saying this now, but I Balcers caught my eye more than Abramov and even more than Schlappik, were kind of a tweener as well. And then it also gets to, depending on where you're at as a system, kind of goes back to where you were Shane Prince, right? Now, and Shane Prince had some NHL time, but you get to a certain spot, as you said, where guys don't fit, maybe an opportunity somewhere else, and that's how you kind of replenish things, like you did with the Curtis Lazar. Not saying for a minute he'd be a second-round pick coming back, but you have to decide at some point here where you start. And New Jersey used to do this for years where, hey, you're kind of loaded up. People have a perception that all your players are good. Now you start flipping them out and replenishing the old draft picks.
All right, a little past 7 o'clock. We'll get you the latest news from 580 CFRA Rundown. Not much of a scoreboard, but again, crystallizing the NHL playoff picture. The Jays win. The Raptors lose. So more detail on that coming up. Our TSN $1,200,000 minute before 8 o'clock. And when we return, who has been the most pleasant surprise for the Ottawa Senators this season as they get set to wrap up their season with a game tonight against the Maple Leafs? We'll get into that conversation. We'll talk some Logan Brown as he makes his debut, and Parker Kelly, who will make his NHL debut tonight. That's all straight ahead here on this Sens Game Day Wednesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.